Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
Hey, I'm Holland Roden.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Ponzio.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hi, I'm Dylan Sprayberry.
This is Megan Tandy.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh.
Woo!
Hey, this is Jeff Davis. You're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, my favorite podcast in the world.
Through hell's gates, the ground shakes in violence. So it begins.
Hi everyone, welcome to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast, episode 99, brought to you somewhat live from San Diego Comic-Con. If we sound a bit different on this episode, it's because we're recording it in person, live, together in our apartment, or one of the apartments that we're staying in, the day before Comic-Con begins, which is very exciting. I'm Natalie, and we have our other two Not Another Teen Wolf podcast members who have joined us at Comic-Con this year, which is obviously Karen and Donya. So, hello.
Hi.
Hi. And we all recorded together last week for episode 2 as well, but that was still scattered across the country. Were you two together for that?
No.
No. We're all here, but not together.
Yeah.
And so we're all in San Diego together. Literally, we're sitting in the same room recording this in directly into the computer rather than talking on Skype, which is a novel experience because we've done our live panels before. And that was different. This is literally sitting around a table recording, which is how I'm told that some people record professional podcasts. Like they have a studio and they talk to each other and then that's it. So this is what we're pretending to do. We're also joined by Kristen Kranz, who's another Hyperball staff member who's been on the show before and is a big Teen Wolf fan and who's been hanging out with us doing Teen Wolf stuff and is going to be covering other shows at the convention as well. But we all watched episode 3 together, and we're going to do something a little bit different this week, which is we're actually, hopefully some of you will enjoy this, some people have mentioned it before. We're going to rewatch the episode right now, live. You'll hear it playing in the background, and we're going to talk about it as it goes along, and if we have some questions or things we want to discuss, we'll hit pause while it's happening, basically, and then have a bit of discussion and keep watching as we go. So that's hopefully going to be fun and not messy, but it will probably go pretty bad. I'm not
going to
lie.
It's going to be an experience.
It's going to be new and difficult, so hopefully it's a fun option for you guys to listen to. That makes this a little bit different. And then next episode is going to be 100, and we're thinking about what we can do for that, probably again in person before we leave San Diego. If you want to get in touch with us about this episode or any episodes in the future, you can reach us on our Twitter, which is NATW Podcast. You can follow us on Tumblr, which is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. You can email us at our Gmail, natwpodcast@gmail.com, or you can join us on Instagram, where we should be posting a lot of fun photos from the next few days, and we may have some special ones to share from the past couple of days as well, as we may have had some fun Teen Wolfy experiences already, which we will share with you soon. But, yeah, so we're going to get started. Does anyone have anything to say before we start about this? How this experience is going to be? Karen's grumpy today.
I am not grumpy.
Okay, Karen's not grumpy
today. Not grumpy.
Not at all.
Not even
Karen yet. Fell asleep in the car last night when we were driving back from LA. So.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
It's kind of adorable.
No, I was tired.
Okay. It was a long day.
It was many hours of driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Kristen? How are you enjoying your San Diego, Los Angeles experience so far?
Good times. Good. The next couple of days will be insanity, so it's nice to have some chill time.
Yeah, this is good. We just went shopping. We did grocery shopping. I made everyone go to Ralph's, and I made everyone carry my stuff back to the apartment.
Karen got juice.
While we were grocery shopping. Yeah. Where does Karen get her juice?
Ralph's in San Diego, apparently.
Okay. We're going to watch the episode now, and basically, hopefully this goes smoothly. You might hear the episode playing in the background. We'll discuss what's happening. We're just going to talk straight over it about what's happening. And if we sort of get too ahead of ourselves or the scene goes on before we finish discussing, we'll just hit pause and talk. And Donya's going to be in charge of hitting pause.
Yes.
Okay. Are we ready? Karen, yes. you're gonna lead this.
Okay.
You're going to lead the talking of the episode.
All right. So, okay. Here we go. Are we ready to go?
Yes.
Okay. Theo's face in 3, 2, 1.
I still hate Theo. Thanks, Steve. Oh, we need to make a You Know Nothing. Dr. D. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh
my
gosh, yes.
Let's do it.
Like a button.
Yeah. Okay. So this part really confused me when we first started watching it because I didn't know what was going on
yeah.
with the handcuffs and the tie. And
yeah.
I didn't know who was who.
Yeah, I was like, is someone getting ready for a court case or something
yeah.
like that? Like, is he getting dressed to go into court? But it's Donovan, obviously. And then Sheriff getting ready for his mystery date. But, yeah, we get a bit more of this guy's stuff. And apparently his father is what's-her-face's dad, Tracy's
lawyer.
Dad.
His lawyer.
Yeah, her lawyer is Tracy's dad.
Sirens are real-life sirens.
Yeah, not in TV.
Did you see Scott's face? He was
yeah.
like, yeah, I know.
This was interesting to me, the date scene, because when the boys don't know who it is.
Right.
And they kind of look at each other like they both hope it's Melissa,
yeah.
if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of what I thought there.
At first I thought Scott was in the know. Like, it seemed like he knew what Sheriff was talking about.
That look.
Yeah.
yeah. That look right there. The little raised eyebrow of...
But I'm wondering if maybe he was thinking, it's my mom. It's
yeah.
my mom.
Right.
Yeah.
What did this guy actually do? Why
he,
is he
had
there?
A
he had
loaded
a
handgun and it was breaking and entering. So.
But why? Was it anything to do with anything?
I don't think so.
I think he just has like a really, really long history of
yeah.
violence and crime. And that's why this one...
Mm.
Yeah.
He seems to be very... The thing I keep getting about this character is that he seems... Like the way he's threatening... him doesn't seem that genuine, and we were talking about this yesterday. It seems like he's desperate for Stilinski to help him, like that he's kind of being like that Stilinski was like his, you know, that he was the crime child and Stilinski was the mentor, and now he's like, you've let me get into this situation, but now he's making all of these crazy threats and they don't
yeah.
come across as that sincere.
There's a lot of rage there that I think feels very unfounded right now, so
yeah,
I feel
yeah.
like there must be something else going on, and obviously we've seen it, so...
Just
yeah.
Just Styles making the situation worse now.
Mm-hmm.
That is my
yeah.
favorite line from
that,
the whole episode.
I love it when he, like, moves his shoulders mm-hmm. like that.
I love it.
Wow. Wow, Styles.
Styles is such a dick.
I love how Scott jumps in front.
I didn't notice that before.
It's like, and Styles kind of goes,
it on the internet.
Scott, and jumps back. And like,
yeah. And Scott's like, it's okay, boo, I got you.
Yeah. So we find out that, like, that boy, not that he's going to have that much plot probably after this episode, because he did. But the reason they know something about his psychological state is because of his score on a test he took to be a deputy, like to be a cop, which is not exactly...
I didn't think he was that old.
Yeah.
Like, when I looked
yeah.
at this kid...
I thought he was,
kid,
like, a teen. Like, you know, it was a juvenile.
Yeah.
Maybe he's, like, a high school dropout.
Like, a couple
of
years
thing,
after.
Or maybe, or just after
okay.
high school.
And
or...
so are they taking him to jail now?
Yeah.
Okay, so prior to us seeing... what we see in, like, a minute. Did you guys think he was actually having, like, a heart attack or a stroke right here?
I had no idea
what was happening to the driver. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, what? Like...
Yeah.
And I didn't even suspect. Like, I was
yeah.
like, what is this?
Because you can't... The angle that you get these shots at, you can't see the tear in the
yeah.
top
yeah.
where the claws have come through. You don't see that until they let you see it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Kudos on the editing there, by the way. That was really good.
What?
The editing for, like, not showing you the rip in the top of the transport.
And then it's this shot here where we see the slime coming down, and I'm like, Jackson? Which, what? Obviously, we know he's not a Kanema anymore, but...
You still got excited.
Yeah.
It's that split second of...
You wait, kind of forget really? All logic.
Yeah.
I wonder who does their stunt driving. Like, do they, like... How do they do these car shots? I'm very curious about this, actually.
I feel like, couldn't they just, like, move his leg off the pedal?
I don't know. I don't know how to drive a car, Karen.
Okay, Malia. And then for a minute, I also thought he was going to be the Kanema master.
Who? Donovan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think this Kanema has a master, or do you think it's like...
I don't
or
think
is,
so.
Do you think it's just an influence of whatever they've injected into her?
Yeah. I think she looks so cool, though. Like,
yeah.
She's really good at all of these stunts and everything.
Yeah.
That blood spray.
I was like, why do they have a big gun? And I'm like, well, they are in a prison transport. But, like...
I like some of the shots here. Like, their choice to, like, death. Like, that sort of thing.
It, do you Where think... They- She's specifically gone after, like, what we find out with who she goes after. Do you think she's specifically there for her dad, or like yeah. was she tracking her dad, and like, so Donovan is an incidental
I think
situation.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The sheer fact that she left the two deputies or whoever alive, like they found them.
Mauled.
They were mauled but not dead. I think that, she was after her dad.
It's really creepy.
It is super creepy.
It's like that if I can't have you, no one can sort of thing. And that just awful. Oh god, it's so terrifying.
Those sounds. I hate those sounds.
Yeah, it's the noise that the dread doctors make terrifies me. I
what
love this hashtag. Donovan is doomed.
Donovan, what was the point of you? I want to know more about why you are so angry and you feel so betrayed by Sheriff Stilinski.
Yeah. Why do you think the Dread Doctors click like that? It reminds me of bugs, but I don't think we've gotten any indication.
It reminds me of the tiny noises the Winter Soldier's arm makes.
Yeah.
He makes very tiny mechanical noises when he moves.
Yeah. So maybe they are like clockwork or something.
Yeah, I don't know if they're real or like what they are.
I don't know. It's really
why are they doing that?
Why are they doing anything?
Like this specifically, they're drilling into his ear. Have they made him into something, or is he just dead?
I think they've made him...
They made him into something, because he's in the episode later.
Yeah.
He was sitting in a cell at one point.
And his eyes go silver.
Yeah, and Sheriff Stilinski is, like, talking to him a little later in the episode. Oh, God. I remember everything.
Have I completely forgotten it? Oh, my God.
It's a good thing we're watching this live.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Oh, no, so he's not dead now. He's just been manipulated in some way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're a big fan of the sparks around the names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a lot of people talking about the scene with the Jeep and how every time Styles is like upset,
the Jeep dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think he's just psychically linked, Karen?
Maybe.
I hope so. I love the Jeep.
You think he's a technopath?
Oh.
He gets real angry.
He gets so angry, like violently angry, and
it's kind of like the Jeep is, like, his one grounding point right now. Yeah. And it kind of failing is just, like, driving him to the brink. Like
driving him to the brink.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there's nothing supernatural about it. It's fixable. Like, he can control what happens to his Jeep. So, I totally would do that.
So, I don't know. He's just so angry all the time. So, like... pale and sweaty.
Well, this is the thing, like, his kind of grasp on reality and him like losing it a lot is what I probably would have expected to have been happening more in season four.
Let's talk more about Styles for a second. It's going to be a very important bit next.
Yeah. So Styles is freaking out. Like, that's the kind of thing that I would have expected to have been happening to him through season four, post, like, Nugitsune kind of thing.
Yeah.
So for me, it feels a little bit like he locked that down through season four and in an attempt to, like, not deal with it. And now it's starting to, like, it's like a delayed response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to,
like, everything's changing.
Which makes sense because, you know, sarcasm is his only defense. So, like, he does push those things down and kind of like represses
them. And now that Malia is starting to adjust, like he had his focus was on helping her adjust to reality, like he had something else to focus on, so now that he doesn't have
he's
that
left she's in his own head.
So it's basically and obviously I don't know who said it then, but it's senior year. Everything's going to change for them in a couple of months. Like, he knows that, and he's desperately trying to keep everyone together.
Yeah, he's just...
But he's basically... he can see it all falling apart, and I think that's just dragging everything back up. It's like a... Yeah, it's a really delayed response to the trauma he went through. And I think it's really, really interesting. And he's playing it so well.
Plus, things are changing with his dad, too. I mean, he was angry before he realized that his dad took off the wedding ring. But I'm sure that just kind of adds another layer to him freaking out that things are in new territory right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Jeep is a metaphor for his heart. He keeps dying.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that it might die completely, and that he will have a crazy, like, non-supernatural breakdown that he will just snap, basically.
It will break my heart if the Jeep goes. Yeah. I think I'm really attached to the Jeep.
I've said so many times and that they should bring the Jeep to cons and people can get photo ops sitting in it or next to it.
People would flip over that.
Like, if you know...
Well, they would actually flip over it. They'd be like, hey, I'm a werewolf.
Unnecessary flipping.
Yeah, there's going to be some of that. But, yeah, if they, like, drove it down here to San Diego Comic Con or, like, any of the LA-based con, like, you know, the Days of the Wolf or whatever, and... Like, they're like, he's the Jeep, you can stand by. Because they do that with, like, Batmobile and stuff. Why not the Jeep?
Yeah. Roscoe is totally comparable to Batmobile, but, you know.
For us, it totally is.
Yeah. I mean, I care a lot more about the Jeep than the Batmobile, so.
So we're going to move on now to and play again because it's the very important scene of Malia driving the car, which is so real to me. Oh, cool.
Leave it to Lydia to know the newest rule. Like, she's on top of it.
Like, I like how Lydia's concerned that she doesn't recoup a pretty new car. Who the hell bought this kid a brand new car when
Bear
she can't drive?
Bear-trap dad is
spoiling
her stuff.
Yeah.
These flashbacks are really interesting. I want to know, like... I mean, obviously, we know what they mean. We know that they're from the accident or whatever, but...
Yep.
What kind of effect is this going to have on the plot?
Well, I feel like she's going to be driving on her own somewhere at some point and not be able to control the car.
Like, do you think she can't remember exactly what happened, or she is remembering and that's scaring her?
I don't know.
I think she wasn't able to remember, personally. And or she doesn't remember the particulars, the details of it.
Yeah.
I think it's very Malia that she can't just stay on the road either.
Yeah.
I do really like them all together.
Yeah, so do I. I really like Holland so much in this season.
I
but
just love them all. The circles.
So good.
I just... Guys, I mean, I feel like nobody can be that bad at driving. No, but really, like, you would know to not keep going in circles.
I wouldn't know how to make it not do that.
You just turn the wheel the other way.
She was also raised by coyotes.
Yeah, but...
I would be, like, maybe one step below her. I've driven a car before, only a couple of times. I've driven in a parking lot in America, and the guy had to be like, no, you're going to run into the fence. Like, stop. Like...
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was really cool because Lydia's banshee powers are
kicking in. Yeah, she's like, we have to keep going to wherever they're going. Yeah. And she kind of knows and she's like, fuck. fuck.
Yeah.
We're doing this. I have to do this.
I like how she seems a lot more aware now, which is cool because she's
kind of like, yep, there it is. Ugh.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like it when she thought that she was crazy. You know? Like when she thought it was like.
I remember seeing this scene in a lot of the trailers, and I was really worried about whose bloody hand this was. Like, I thought it was going to be Styles or something.
Just
so,
some dude.
Yeah, I'm glad that it was just.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, with her powers, though, it's definitely like, you know, compared to before when she was like, you know, thinking that the GPS was really telling her to take a left, but it was all like her own head doing it.
Yeah.
It's better that she knows how to.
Now she knows it's her banshee sense tingling.
I like how Sheriff Stilinski uses Scott.
Do you think he treats him like more an equal than he treats Styles? Like Scott, like him, he's like,
wait,
Scott,
wait.
Oh, unnecessary. Okay,
yes.
That was so stupid.
That was so Derek Hale.
Yeah. He misses him. He does a backflip in his honor.
I do think that he does treat Scott like more of a grown-up than Styles. I don't think that's necessarily an issue because Scott has so much on his shoulders.
What are you doing?
Theo.
Pause it. Yeah. What is Theo? Just wait, Theo. Wait. Yeah. Sorry. Carry on.
I just think that Scott has done so much to earn loyalty from everybody, and he's in charge of so much that I think it's fair to treat him the way he's treating him, and I think it's probably more natural for a sheriff to treat Styles
like his child.
Yeah, totally.
But it is kind of weird. Like he is really treating him like an adult. Like Big Scott, it's really like it's kind of weird to watch the way that people are interacting with Scott now. Actually, he's all hot
isn't
dominatrix
staff. Isn't it Parrish later who's like, should we just put him on staff? Like,
he basically is
another officer. Like he just kind of like, you know, can you find him? Let's go.
But, yeah, you keep calling him Hot Dominatrix Dad, so now he has to be part of the dads.
Yeah, I think that's true. Let's play. Theo's lurking on them because he's a creep.
Yeah.
He's a total creep. Yep. All
right.
Karen starts.
I don't know what Donovan thought he was going to accomplish there, but...
Well, he doesn't know Scott. He doesn't know anything about Scott.
I don't know if I caught that last time. Styles said Theo.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so
he assumed that Theo was the bad guy, basically, because he wants to hate Theo very badly.
I'm loving Lydia's hair anyway.
Yeah. It's very like season one, season two, when it was long and like ringlets and stuff.
Mason. It's just like, I don't even know what that is.
Yes, we've memorized the lines already. This is only our second viewing. Styles is just so not there for Mason. But look, I just keep looking.
Are we the Teen Wolf Inner Circle? We are the Teen Wolf Inner Circle.
We are the Teen Wolf Inner Circle. I love Mason's face this whole scene.
So Scott, unusually, who's shocked, does not want to kill Tracy.
Yeah.
Everyone else kind of wants to kill Tracy.
And then we're back to Donovan.
Okay, I have sort of a serious question about that, then. You can pause it if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Considering, like, Malia and Styles' penchant for, let's just kill them. I mean, that's kind of a serious crime. Like, yes, they're supernatural, but especially in Tracy's case, she's not a bad person. Something's happened to her.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, like, are they ever going to cross the line? Like,
I mean, do they do something that gets tried in a real court of law?
Yeah, do they realize, like, what they're actually saying, that they want to murder another human being?
I don't know.
Being?
They did learn all this stuff from Derek, and Derek was kind of... I don't know if Derek actually ever... I mean, besides from Paige, I don't know if Derek actually ever killed anyone, or if he was just, like, talk, if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if he was... But he was... He seemed... His attitude seemed to be, like, in the supernatural world, if someone is a problem, we can kill them, and it won't affect the rest of the world at all.
Yeah.
And they've kind of learned that from Derek.
And I think the other thing is that with Styles especially, it's kind of like... He knows this sort of thing. He knows the consequences to a lot of these actions. There's no way that he can't know those consequences, being that his dad is the sheriff and has been in law enforcement for probably as long as
he's been alive. Yeah.
So he knows that, but I wonder if potentially, one, he is kind of seeing it as in it's not going to affect the real world kind of thing.
Or like, he knows how to hide a body.
Or he knows how to hide a body, or he thinks that if worse comes to worse, his dad and parish will hush it up.
Yeah.
Really?
Which I think that's a huge problem, but I also think that it makes me worry that he doesn't think that some of these supernatural creatures are actually people. You know, like he just views them as like, I don't even know what, but these monsters that don't have any humanity, which is a huge problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And I also wonder if he was actually confronted with the opportunity to kill them, if Styles would do it.
I think he would if Scott wasn't there.
Well, possibly. But if he's, you know, face to face and doesn't have to, and is, like, staring this person or monster down, like, I don't know. Like, it
reminds me a little bit... Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. It reminds me a little bit of a scene from the new Hawkeye comics where Clint goes up against a couple of, like, mobsters... And he starts talking about, like, Captain America is such a good guy, you know, we're really, really good at that, you know.
We have to do all this stuff, but...
But guess what? Yeah, he's basically like, well, guess what? Captain America isn't here.
I don't know with Styles whether he is worse or better than he... Like, if his basic state that we see him in... If what's going on in his head and what he would really do if left to his own devices is, like, better, as in, like, he talks the talk but then couldn't do it, or if he's actually worse and if he was left to his own opportunity and no outside control, that he would be worse than he is, if you know what I mean. I don't know which direction that would be.
I think he has a strong survival instinct. So, Kristen, like you were saying, if he was staring the monster down, like, he would probably do whatever it took to stay alive. But if it was like, okay, you know, we've got five people surrounding Tracy, like, we have her at gunpoint or whatever, would Styles pull the trigger? I don't know. I mean, I would hope not, but... I think that he sort of thinks of the world in balance more than maybe Scott does. Scott thinks of it case-by-case basis. Can we save this person? Whereas Styles is like, will the world be better off without this person alive?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's difficult.
Mm. It just makes for an interesting dynamic between them.
Yeah, it does.
It's like really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's carry on. See, this could have been a really nice relationship or something. Not nice, but, like, I feel like that this had a backstory. I feel like this had a, like, this man tried to help me and I kept failing and now he's given up on me, if you know what I mean.
And now I'm angry by that.
That's what it vibes like to me.
Yeah.
But. Sounds fun.
Yeah. There's a lot of dead people and blood in this episode.
Yeah.
Parrish thinks this is so unlegit.
Yeah.
Parrish is not amused.
I feel like Malia is very stoic on the outside, very, like, logical.
Yeah.
Like a cold logic, but on the inside, I think she's freaking out.
Yeah, like, she's definitely trying to justify that, you know, looking at the pictures of the bodies. You know, she's trying to find something to justify what she's seeing. Like, so these guys are bad guys, so they deserved it. Mm-hmm. So my mother killing them isn't that bad and stuff like that. But I don't know.
Lydia looked kind of proud of that test score.
Yeah.
Like, she's probably been helping him.
Did Scott do the reading? No, Scott was out chasing dead bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, you idiot.
However, I think if Liam wasn't being like, Dad,
he
Dad, over here,
it.
Come on. I don't know how the teacher hasn't noticed the kid at the door waving crazily.
So when I was doing my recap, I looked down and I didn't see that Scott had tapped his ear. And so for a split second, I thought Liam was talking to him telepathically.
Yeah,
and I was like,
magic beta power.
Really, guys? Really?
No.
So thankfully that's not
I like how they did it. Like, because Liam is a fool, obviously.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, sitting there being like, hello.
I think Tracy looks so cool, you guys. Like, sometimes the wolfed out powers are, you know, she's Kanema, obviously, look kind of funky on people. She looks really...
You think it suits her?
She looks terrifying.
I love how no one is...
She looks like Samara.
I love how no one is paying attention to the fact that she looks possessed in the back of the room. Like...
It's interesting seeing what she's seeing.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like, she's definitely not meant to be there, and she has no shoes, and she's going crazy and breaking a desk. She's in a class not with her grade, and she's gonna crack some desks and kill some people, probably.
Yeah.
Did they set that off? Did Liam set
Liam
that off?
Just did. Yeah.
Understand if she's hallucinating them, or if she sees everyone as them, or if she's like,
yeah, I don't know, or like, are they really there on like a different like
plane?
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
that explains this, like the way that they kind of like
flicker,
yeah. and this kind
because
of
because that was definitely what was happening when we saw that, like, you know, the stuff that she thought she was hallucinating was real, like, you know, the ripping open the locker and stuff in the last episode.
It would be really interesting if it split plane existence.
Yeah,
like,
although I mean, here I think it's clear that she's seeing them as the doctors.
She's seeing, so she attacks people because she thinks they're a threat.
That's definitely the implication. Although she knew who her father was.
Yeah. Nice. Really nice.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, like, this is Mercury coming out of her mouth. I'm wondering what the significance there could be.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Mr. Yukimura here, like, the way he runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's... There's that, and then there's Hayden's reaction to it.
Yeah. Everyone's like, bye. Liam, you love her.
Now this was interesting.
Yeah,
that it's not.
There's
nothing.
There's no wound, so she's healed. So
well, it made me wonder if she healed or if she was like gripping her hard, but the blood is not hers. Like if it was Tracy's, like she was.
Oh yeah.
I think the implication is that
she
healed.
At first, that's what my question was. Like I was like, I'm not sure.
Although, what does that... I mean, clearly she was confused, so I don't think she knows that she's a supernatural
creature.
But do
you think, like, she heard, like... If the Dread Doctors are trying to put powers into everyone. Maybe they've made it really contagious. Maybe Tracy wounding her, like, could maybe be. It passes on power that quickly.
Could be, like, that's her idea.
Yeah. They're going to, Mason.
Mason is just...
They're going to ask Satomi's pack about whether she's the alpha, because they think, obviously, that Tracy is a werewolf or whatever her powers is, that she must have an alpha. So now we have Brett off of Satomi's pack with no shirt and some very big shoulder muscles. All right, Mason, calm down.
So thirsty.
Even Styles was like, that was a little too obvious. Yes. That. Ash. I was kind
You're a vet. They're animals. Do you not believe in euthanasia? I mean, I don't feel super comfortable with it, but do you think that that's a thing that there's room for in the world?
Gosh, I mean, that's hard. That's a difficult question.
Yeah. I mean, are they humans? Are they animals? Do we have the right to do it to humans or animals? Like, yeah. You know, like yeah. It's...
I know. This is, oh, wow. Not this is a whole different story. Getting deep.
Yeah. I mean, I think... Scott's got the right idea. I mean, I think we can only do the best that we can, but we should try to do the best that we can at all times. And that's going to be difficult, but I mean, that's sort of your responsibility, especially if you're like Scott, who's a true alpha, who's an alpha of a pack and has sort of dedicated himself to protecting Beacon Hills.
Yeah. I don't know.
I like how they just trap the Malia and Scott in there with her with the mountain axe.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine, no big deal. Yeah. Deaton's like, we can leave, no big deal.
Yeah, thanks for that, Deaton. I still have, I know it's probably never gonna happen. I still have in the back of my head this thought that Deaton is like the big, big bad.
Oh, I believe it. I so believe it.
Yeah,
he feels very Harrison Wells sometimes.
Yeah,
he
does.
From The Flash.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, yeah. You know, is that the guy who owns the...
Star Labs.
Yeah, Star Labs.
Yeah. And it's like, for anybody who doesn't know, basically he pretends to, or he does help The Flash in order to get him to a point where he can
take
him.
His powers
yeah,
and
stuff. Yeah, it's a whole thing like that. So, I mean, it would kind of make sense for Deaton to train him. In order to maybe get to know
get him and to get him to like to use him to his own ends. I don't.
Yeah.
I've never trusted Deaton.
No, I still don't trust Deaton.
I don't know. We've never asked anyone directly about this. We've never been like, guys, is Jeff, you know, is Deaton evil? Like, you know, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, tell us. But you know, like, we've never been like, so should we be suspicious of anyone?
I think he's biding his time.
That might be a good question to ask in general. Like, is there anyone, even if it's just a yes or no and not who it is, but is there anyone who's on the side of good that we should be suspicious is playing a long game bad.
Yeah. Well, especially since they made you suspicious of Deaton in first season.
Yeah.
Like, when all of that crazy was going
on.
Yeah,
it was like,
made
he was one of the
of
people who they thought maybe was the, you know, the bad elf.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So it's like, I think it's natural still to be like,
and he's just so
just
unhelpful
not right.
And
yeah.
Like, I don't know, just, anyway.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Oh, this is fun. So Lydia and Kira are in Tracy's bedroom, covered in her paintings and everything still.
Yeah, Lydia, just the way that Lydia sort of... Yeah. It's not really helpful, Kira, honestly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Lydia's sort of tactics about actually using her powers are quite cool. Like, I really like the attitude that she has
she's
about it.
She's so much more accepting of it now.
Yeah.
Like, she just goes with
and
the
she kind of, like, with Kira, she's sort of not just not taking anyone else's shit. She's like, this is what I've got to do.
come with me or not.
This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Nice. Sucks to be you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, that's really unfair. Like, couldn't you have just, like, let them out?
Done
and, like,
it before, yeah.
Or warned them? Like, hey, by the way, Mountain Ash coming?
Yeah.
This
is why I don't trust you.
Although this is really interesting. Is this part of the Canima, do we know? Or
I don't know.
Is it something else?
I'm sure there's some, I mean, not that it would be the same here, but I'm sure there's some superhero that you can't cut. Like, there's
Superman.
It is Superman, like knives and needles, like they break on him, like when he,
Although it kind of reminds me of Wolverine.
Yeah,
he's been, like,
I was thinking
pumped.
Wolverine.
Or they can cut.
Yeah, he just heals, but, you know, full of the metal.
Adamantium.
Yeah. I thought he was going to say something about, like, is there a ceremony? Or something like that.
Are there rooms?
I was going to be like, please, please.
Come on, Liam, use your brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, he's thinking. yes, obviously he found the necklace and...
Oh, this is really upsetting, this bit.
Because, okay, the Dreamcatcher was given to her by her father to get rid of the night terrors.
Yeah,
or, like,
she
symbolically.
Knew he had trouble.
Now, the thing is, this episode was called Dreamcatcher.
Mm.
But do we learn of any specific significance? I also feel like they did that close-up on the Dreamcatcher, especially, like, the center bead, and I was like, does this mean something? But it never came up again.
I don't know.
They may be playing a long game with it.
Yeah.
It may not be immediately apparent.
I also love that Lydia, like, apparently just has
knowledge
of all
everything.
Of
all crimes.
Right. Yeah. She's just got a stock of knowledge back there.
I really like Malia's hair. Can someone cut my hair like that?
I love Malia's hair.
What side does she part it on? This side.
Yes.
Is it the same as mine?
It's the same as yours.
Maybe I'll cut my hair like Malia. I don't like my hair cut now.
This reminded me of Constantine the movie. Where, I know, I'm sorry, but like, where the demon
skin?
Is like in her neck and it like tries to press through
That's
her
really
neck.
Gross,
yeah. Yeah, it was.
And they're just like, ooh, we know about that.
You should know, DN.
You are freaking useless. You're fired. I'm firing you. Scott can be a vet. He'll do a better job than you at the end.
Okay, this part, we have decided, is the most disgusting thing Teen Wolf has ever done.
Yeah.
Because her back splits open.
And then her spine moves around and grows new parts.
Yeah.
You know, and she's clearly an evolved... Canada.
I thought wings were gonna burst out of her back.
Like from the video that Derek
that
and Peter
wings.
See.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's really gross.
Disgusting.
I don't understand why we have to see it. Like, I don't understand why her back split if wings aren't coming. A tail is coming.
Yeah.
So she and she has a big powerful tail.
His face.
That was pretty good.
She doesn't turn into the full lizard. Like, maybe it was hard to get her into the lizard suit. Do you think there's going to be any repercussions of her cutting them? Like, if she made Hayden, like, heal or put something into Hayden, like, you know?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Although, that is a good question. Why wasn't Hayden paralyzed?
I don't know. And she broke the Mountain Ash.
Yeah.
Which I think that has to do with the Dread Doctors, probably, like...
Well, and I wonder, since Stav and Deaton are not supernatural at all, like, if she could affect Hayden, and, you know, since Hayden healed, like, possibly something happened if she was human, like, and something has affected her. Like, Scott and Malia might not see any side effects at all, but possibly the other two.
Well, yeah, my thing as well is, you know, if they are, if their end game, the Dreadnoughts' end game, is to kind of be making more people powered, it would make sense for them to have it to be contagious to non-powered people.
Right.
And I'm also wondering if, like, that's why, you know, she can break through the thing. Because it's not, it's a difference between her, but I don't, like, it's a difference between her biology changing and something happened to her. Like, you know, say there was a scanner that was set up for, I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of a good example. A scanner, and it only beeped when people, people who, like, had red hair, you know, walked through, you know, and it only beeped. And you could dye your hair red, but it wouldn't beep because, you know, your biology isn't naturally red hair, if you know what I mean. And what if the stuff that affects supernatural stuff doesn't affect these because they're it's only, like, it's a weapon being put onto them. It's not actually in their biology, like, the real ones, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the Mountain Ash thing, because she's not actually supernatural. She's just got a supernatural drug in her, if you know what I mean. Like,
which could be why she keeps getting injected, like they have to keep, you know.
As opposed to it being a, and it's a bit like in S.H.I.E.L.D., like when they make Mike Peterson into like that, you know, like he's not a powered person. They did something to him to give him powers. It's not a natural mutation or anything like that.
That makes sense.
All right, we'll carry on. They're lying on the cold, hard floor.
Yeah.
Trouble.
Sorry. Thank you. Lord.
I think it is interesting too that Malia can move before Scott can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Possibly because Scott's spending more of his time worrying about Malia and keeping Malia calm than he is about healing himself first.
Yeah.
I think Scott has a lot more concern for other people than his own...
And Dean's giving her these instructions, which do end up working, but what about season two when people were paralyzed by cadmium venom? You didn't give any advice about healing then. Come on, time to go.
All part of his evil plan. Yeah.
Yeah. Mel Mason found a hole. I love how Liam's sort of like subtly judging him right now. He definitely did the same exact thing.
He's trying to be
falling
cool
in holes is so last week.
Yeah, he's trying to be cool in front of his new friend Karen. Okay,
are people to impress?
Yeah.
And so they don't find the necklace in this hole because it's a different hole, which is crazy. I mean, I don't really know.
I think they're planting people like trees.
Yeah, because it's really deep, but it's not very long, so they had to bury it
upright.
Upright, and that's just strange.
I actually is that the ground looks as though it's been pushed up from underneath, and it's like clawed around
the edges.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's really, really interesting. I actually read a Tumblr post once about, like, if you wanted to hide a body, you should always hide it upright rather than hiding it because there's less disturbed earth and it's harder for them to
think, oh, a body might be there. Yeah, I think I know that.
So that was a really
just for
weird,
when you want to.
Yeah,
just for like, or you could throw it in the tar pits.
Yes, that's true.
We went to the tar pits yesterday, La Brea tar pits.
You can do it.
Do you think Malia's grasp of her powers is like, it's raw? It's like, than, like, a little bit more raw than Scott's. It's a little bit more feral. So she's slightly more, that, like, that side of her is slightly more in tune in the way that it's easier to come to the surface than Scott's got a lot more control over it.
Plus, she's also been a supernatural creature longer than he has.
Much longer, her whole life.
So,
but.
Yeah, I do like that part when Scott says, don't kill her or whatever, and Malia's just like, ugh, this sucks.
Fine, Dominatrix daddy.
Yeah.
And then when we first watched his episode at the start, and I was like, oh, she's going to go after Lydia's mom. And then it was like, oh, wait, no, that she definitely, she actually is. Okay. Dun dun dun!
So I feel like we do need to talk about this because it's quite.
Hold on, should we just let it play out for a second?
Give me 2 seconds. Right. Okay. That's okay, far enough. Right.
So,
okay.
So the date is Lydia's mother, obviously, Natalie Martin, who is Susan Ashby, Lyndon's wife in real life, which is fun. I think it's fun.
It's really adorable that on screen, like, it's really difficult for them to not look at each other like they're completely in love.
Yeah.
Like, that is super adorable. I love that.
Mm. That's and it's fun because they were both at a convention earlier this year, and they were a lot of fun, like, together to speak with and stuff like that. And they've played cousins on a show before. Like, they met on a show, and they've definitely played characters together on a show. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've played husband and wife or before or actually together, but, you know, this is a new couple alert. Though, you know, I don't necessarily think it's going to be permanent. You know, with the dating culture as it is, and you know, him taking off his wedding ring, it's clearly like, let's go spend some time in the company of a woman. Like, you know, if he has a long-term crush on Melissa, which, you know, it's pretty clear that Lyndon, like, you know, from what he said, thinks that the character does.
Yeah.
That the both of those parents think that the character is kind of like, this is my long-term, you know, friend, and I feel like something is there under the surface. If he's only just decided he's ready to get into the dating world, you know, maybe he's doing some practice dates. But then what if he decides he likes her better than Melissa? Like,
I think that's fair. Like, I think that this all makes sense. And plus, if he's getting closer and closer to Melissa, which I think he is considering everything that they've been through together, he might not want to change that relationship right away. He might be very nervous about, like, getting together with her and changing it because, you know, he's comfortable where things are right now. But I definitely think that this is, like, not a permanent thing. Mm. I think that it's, you know, just testing the waters.
Yeah, I think it's a fun opportunity given that she's on the show more this season and that they're married, that they were like, well, wouldn't this be fun?
Yeah.
And I think that's fun.
I think that's exactly what they've done. I also think that in terms of the sheriff's character, the last relationship that he was in was one that he thought he was going to be in for forever.
Mm.
If he likes Melissa as much as we think that he does, and he has in his head that may be the woman that he might want to spend what's left of his life. Oh my God, that sounds
left
terrible.
Of his life, like 85.
No, I mean that in the way of his, like, chosen career in the supernatural thing, like the genuine threat.
What,
that
you think
is.
He has an early death coming?
Potentially.
I'm really worried about him this season.
Yeah, I'm
talked
really
about
worried
before,
about him.
But I'm just going to not think about it.
I mean, plus
it.
Him dating Miss Melissa, like, that affects Styles. Like, that affects Scott. Like, him going out with Lydia's mom, it's not as touchy, I don't think. Like, I mean, Lydia's close to her mom, but the rest of them don't seem to really, be pals with her.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Styles and
she's
Melissa,
not in the inner circle. She's not in hashtag team.
Right. Whereas, like, Melissa and Styles have a relationship.
Yeah,
so
it would really, if anything went wrong, it would really throw a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know,
so I can understand why he'd be cautious. Like, I'm going to, you know, I'm kind of ready for this. I've taken off the ring. Let's, you know, we'll go on a date. Hey, Lydia's mom.
I'm not worried about it. I think Melissa and Sheriff are in game anyway. So it's going to be. It's going to be fun.
But this was also a good way, I guess, Natalie Martin's about to see some shit go down, basically, and she will know more things. So.
Now she's in the know and she can join.
In a circle.
Yeah. Now she can join the, like, parents club. Parents meetings. We've got another woman for that meeting, so along with Melissa, and then I guess whenever Chris Argent decides to come back from his adventures.
Come on,
Fair enough.
All right, so what's happening now? He sees, Sheriff sees one of the deputies slumped on her desk.
Mm-hmm. And she's being cannoned.
Yeah, and he knows immediately. Yeah. Like,
oh, this is happening.
Because he's like, oh, no.
She's already there.
This is so creepy.
Yeah.
I don't like how the base of her tail looks, but I think everything else looks fantastic.
Come on, Liam, you can do it.
Wrong hallway, small child.
Look, he was intimately acquainted with that whole... Oh, God, that sounded so bad.
So,
it's just so weird.
The presumption here, I think, is that Donovan was buried in that hole, right? Like, is that the conclusion? I don't know, but it says it's...
how the Dread Doctors work. So.
Right, it
they,
says...
Do they put them in the ground to, like, grow?
Maybe Theo was buried in the hole.
Oh, I don't know. Theo...
And he popped up like a daisy.
I mean, it would make sense if... What's her name?
Kira?
No.
Tracy?
Tracy. It would make sense if Tracy came out of the hole Liam fell in last week.
Yeah.
And then Donovan came out of the one that...
But where was he before that? Like, when? Like, when was Donovan in the hole?
Yeah, I can't. I don't know. Because he went straight from the prison transport van to the alleyway to when Scott found him. It's too
soon. I hate this part. When Lydia...
No, Lydia's being stabbed. Bye-bye. Time to die now, Lydia.
No!
She'll probably be in the rest of the season.
Kira and her belt.
She'll probably be in the rest of the season.
Kira's doing some fighting and now she's a magical firefox thing.
Yeah.
This is something. I'm wondering if she is going to be able to channel every different kind of kitsune that you get.
Why?
Because her powers before were electricity, which there is. There is one that is like air, there's earth, there's fire.
Why would she be able to do all
there's
of them?
There's a celestial
is
one.
Is she the magic special?
She might. There might be something different about Kira's powers. Because, like, specifically in Japanese lore, there are different ones.
Scott's
true.
My question about Kira is still whether the kitsune is a part of her or something that kind of exists with her. You know what I mean? Like, if it's her or if it's something.
Well, I mean, in traditional Japanese lore, typically when a kitsune takes like a human form, it's mostly that they either copy someone else's form and body, or they go into someone and take a host body.
That's the thing, and that's what the Nigitsune did. So I feel like it's like a kitsune has picked a person to be in, and that's sort of what happens, if you know what I mean. Like,
maybe it's in their family, like it's their lineage that they
like,
have
hey,
always
kitsune,
been.
Time to come into this baby now. I didn't mean
they've been hosts of
When Scott first saw the fox around here, again, it was something, it wasn't her, it was like an aura around her. And that looked very similar, like it was like a spirit that kind of lives with her,
but,
if you know
what
I mean.
But then again, I'm just very confused about what her base power is. Like, this would suggest that she's
like, why
going
did she
to
need
get...
the fire flames to do the fighting, if you know what I mean.
But again, it's like, is she gonna exhibit, like, powers of air? Is she the Avatar?
Heart.
So, wanna carry on?
Yeah.
Oh, Theo's back.
Still don't
back
ask him.
Back again. Theo's back.
Do not ruin Eminem with Theo.
That is not okay.
No.
I like that even Scott's wary, not in the same way that Styles is, but he sort of pauses and thinks about it, looks to Styles, who does not look happy, but
also looks like, do what you're going to do, Scott. You know, like, I can't stop you.
He's taking into consideration everyone's opinions, which I think is really important as a leader.
It's like King Arthur and his knights. Except King Arthur wasn't so great, but
he was a bit of a problematic fave.
Yeah, he is. That's one way of putting it.
Malia's going after him.
Yeah.
I like, I'm interested in the relationship that Malia has with Sheriff Stolinski because I feel like the sheriff really likes her.
Malia.
Yeah. And I wonder if she sees him as sort of a, like a protector, somebody that she can feel comfortable and safe around, which I don't think she feels that way with a lot of people.
Yeah. And I mean, in another way, the sheriff knows about what she truly is as well, which her Bear-Trap Dad doesn't know.
Yeah, I'm presuming Bear-Trap Dad doesn't know yet at all.
No. He's too busy buying her cars and trying to win her love back. It's
nice. Nice.
What?
Oh, I don't know if we've seen Malia's face before like that. Like, we haven't seen her. We've seen her as a coyote. We've seen her eyes and claws. I don't know if we've seen her have, like, a semi-face.
I think we have, but I think it's different. I think they've changed it.
I really don't know if we have.
I think they did it when she was changed the wall, when she was having a lot of trouble.
Maybe. Yeah, she's definitely got her nose and forehead situation going on.
Yeah. I really like this fight.
Yeah.
Because it's between two girls. And they totally kick butt.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, they're both sad.
This whole episode was really, really lady-focused.
Yeah.
Like, on a lot of the characters. And I really like that.
Malia's like, oh, now I have to do something helpful and nice. How do I do that? Mm-hmm. What?
I think she realizes, though, she's like, I can do this. Like, it's not her first instinct, but
I can almost see her thinking, what would Lydia do? What would Lydia do? What would Lydia say? Like, Lydia told me to do this. What should I do now?
Yeah. And Scott. I think Scott's a huge influence on her, too. And what kills me is how upset Malia is
about this.
About losing Tracy.
No.
Ugh.
Her condition is terminal?
Yeah.
The next episode is called Condition Terminal.
Do you think that she's dead now, or is she going to be in more episodes?
No, she's totally dead.
I thought she had several more episodes, like that she was billed for 5 or 6 episodes.
I don't know for sure. I think she is dead.
I thought it was Hayden's character that was billed for more episodes.
Maybe.
But, oh god, Malia just looks so destroyed that she
did. She tried to do a good.
Everything.
And it
Yeah, she did everything to save Tracy. And
I think that's really difficult for her because for so long it's all been about her sole survival and she hasn't needed to take care of anyone else. And I don't think she's used to that pain of losing somebody like that. And it probably is bringing back a lot of memories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that the end of the episode? That's the end of the episode. That's where it ends. What do you think the reaction is going to be of the rest of the pack when they come and find Malia?
I mean, like, I don't think they're going to blame Malia.
No, I don't think they will
either.
She'll blame herself. Yeah.
But I think she's the first person to see the dread doctors.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is she?
Yeah.
So they haven't actually seen them with their faces and eyes and stuff.
No, because Lydia didn't see them because they were just a hallucination of Tracy's.
Yeah.
So she's aware of them now, which I think is significant, and it's going to be their first big break in terms of, you know, what they're actually up against.
Mm.
So.
I can't wait to hear her try and describe what they
Like,
that's what, not like, easy. What grounds does she have to, like, does she know about steampunk?
Yeah.
Like, you know, did she learn about that in the forest?
I doubt it.
So, yeah. How are we doing on there for time? What's that?
A little over an hour, so.
Okay, what did we want to, was there any questions you wanted to sort of discuss with the episode or anything that we usually do, like favorite moments or... anything like that?
I think we kind of went over them as we were going along.
I'm pretty happy with that.
Let's see. I'm just flicking back to see if we had any good Twitter comments.
Overall, I think this episode was really good.
Yeah.
I think I still like episode 2 more just because, like, that was such a good episode, but, like, still really solid so far this season.
We have, so basically Victoria, who's at Saint's Ghost, basically is going along the lines of some of the stuff that we've been discussing, says, even better question, how many people have been buried in holes in the woods and escaped them, and how many people are the doctors experimenting on? Then kind of goes on and says, there is something odd going on with Styles, especially when he is around his Jeep. This is the third time Styles is having a hard time with anxiety and his emotions and the Jeep not working till he calms down.
Yeah, that's actually the one that I saw.
It could just be a metaphor. Yeah. I mean, it could be a metaphor. Like, it could be, you know, conversation that's about the Jeep. It's not really about the Jeep.
Yeah.
A metaphor for life and stuff like that. But maybe he's a technical.
That would be pretty cool. I mean, that would be different.
Yeah, I don't think it's really. But, no, I don't think that. I think Styles is still, you know, just, you know, the whole Nagitsune thing aside, he is now completely human.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
I am definitely curious about those holes and just, you know, who else is there? How long have they been there? What sort of thing is going on? Because if Tracy was buried, like, her father would have known she was missing.
Maybe it's only like an overnight process or something.
Like,
they
could
be one night to stew in the woods and then out they pop.
Like,
know?
Vampires in True Blood.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, they like buried them to turn. It was weird.
Okay.
They do that in Mortal Instruments too, I think. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it also makes me wonder, since the Canima came back this episode, like, what else the Dread Doctors will be cooking up? Maybe stuff we've seen before. Like, that's kind of weird. But it's
I really like this idea of the Dread Doctors because it allows us to sort of sample a little bit of everything and mixes of things, and we might get like weird combinations we've never seen before. So I'm definitely into these villains.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know. Do we want to talk about what we have planned for the next couple of days or what we've done so far? I do have, if anyone's coming to the Teen Wolf panel, the main Comic Con panel of Teen Wolf on Thursday afternoon. If you find us, I'm not sure how you'll find us unless you know what we look like, but I have a few character badges from our header to give out as a prize to anyone that finds us and wants to talk. So that's the thing you could do. We'll be there.
Thursday evening, we've got a Hyperball meetup.
That's
People
true.
Can come see us.
Yeah, so it's from 6. Let's see, it's 6 till 7.
Oh, no, sometime, maybe,
It's 6:30 till 7.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
okay, 6:30
till 7. But there's an article on hypeable.com, so if you guys are interested, you can check that out.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
We'll meet up.
Yay!
And we're just going to be doing, like, panel roundtables, you know.
Yeah, if you've got any desperate questions, I mean, we won't guarantee to use them, but if you've got any desperate questions that, you know, you think are really clever and significant given what we've seen so far of the season, we can try and include that kind of, like, you know, if we know what kind of information we're mining for, we can try.
And we'll be doing a post San Diego episode to our 100th episode.
Probably on Sunday afternoon we'll talk to everyone again. You know, we'll do a recording or a live stream or something fun for the 100th episode, which will be our post Comic Con episode.
Yes.
Yay.
Woo.
Cool. All right. Is there anything else at all that we wanted to do before we finish up? No?
I don't think so.
All good. All right. Well, you can get in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram. That's probably what we'll be doing. We're going to go down to the convention now and pick up our stuff. So it's all gonna happen now. Yay!
Comic-Con is officially starting.
All right. Yeah. So hopefully people enjoyed this. It's obviously a pretty rare opportunity for us to do a live episode take like that. But if you liked it, let us know and we'll see what we could do in future. I don't even know how we do that over the internet, but we'll see. All right. So bye-bye.
Bye.